Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's show is brought to you by Social Joey, Better, and Franchise Dictionary Magazine. The March issue is out today, highlighting home and automotive services. Also, there's a really good piece on choosing an industry by Don Abamondi of SMB Advisors. So check that out now at franchisedictionarymagazine.com. Okay, today the franchise spotlight is on the Government Relations and Public Affairs team from the International Franchise Association. Joining me right now are Matt Haller and Erica Farage from the IFA. Welcome.
Hello, Jack.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having us.
You bet. So much to talk about this week. Not a very busy news week at all. You know, really nothing happening in the world. We are 8 months away from a presidential election at this point, and it feels like the biggest story in the world is not even the presidential election anymore with the coronavirus.
It's certainly top of mind for nearly every American, I would think, and most folks around the world. And look, I think no one knows how extensively this is going to spread in the United States. I think that's, you know, something that everyone agrees with, that no one knows what's going to happen here. I think best case, you know, we'll see isolated pockets contained quickly, hopefully with minimal disruption. But at worst, you know, we could follow, you know, China and other nations and have situations where you've got limits on travel and school closures and large scale events being canceled and, you know, on down the line, disrupting, you know, normal activities.
The large-scale events being canceled is something that is really starting to be top of mind for me as we're looking at all of the great business conferences and conventions and franchising events happening later this year. Is that affecting so far the work that you guys are doing at the IFA as far as what you're planning on doing, or is it kind of business as usual so far?
Well, as you know, we wrapped up our largest event of the year. We had about 4,000 people in Orlando, and that was sort of just on the beginning stages of Corona, spreading outside of China. That was obviously business as usual. We had no disruptions or cancellations that we were aware of related to Corona. So that's a positive. Our next, you know, big event is not until May with the IFA Legal Symposium. Mm-hmm. You know, as of today, this is March 4th, we're recording this. You know, we're just monitoring the spread in the States and around the world. All IFA events are proceeding according to schedule.
Good.
If you do, you know, end up canceling or changing or going virtual, you know, that'll be communicated to registrants, you know, via email and on our website, franchise.org. And I think, you know, obviously 1,400 brands, you know, several hundred suppliers who host events, franchisee conventions, and some of our other industry partners have events coming up. You know, our advice is just if you're in an at-risk group or have been in areas with coronavirus activity, to heed medical advice and to consider travel risk before traveling to and attending those events or our events. And we're going to post a bunch of information today on our website as kind of a coronavirus resource center for the franchise sector.
Oh, great.
With some government resources. And, you know, what's interesting in franchising, as you know all too well, Jack, and your listeners know, I mean, we're a lot of different industries using a business model. So we're not looking to reinvent the wheel here. A lot of industry vertical trade associations have already published information if you're a restaurant company or a hotel company or a service company or a retailer. So we're linking off to some of our industry partners at their associations. And some of the government information that the White House and CDC have provided to stakeholder groups like IFA.
Great. And that resource will be at franchise.org?
Yes.
Okay, great. We will we'll have a link right to that page on the show notes for today's show and at socialgeekradio.com as well. Any other thoughts on franchising and franchise systems preparing for coronavirus? Anything else we should be thinking about there?
We've heard, you know, if there are different ways that our members are addressing the coronavirus, you know, either, you know, in the healthcare space, we've received some feedback about how obviously they're dealing with many at-risk patients, their franchisees are in their homes or in their facilities. You know, so that's one sort of unique way that we've heard franchise companies are sort of in the center of the situation. You know, hotel companies, obviously with travel issues, you know, it's having an impact on bottom line. So how they're addressing it, both from, you know, a cost standpoint, but also, you know, the employee side of things is a challenge. So we're interested in, you know, how our companies are dealing with Corona, both from a business side and from a safety side. And, you know, those stories are oftentimes helpful because we are asked by folks we work with in the administration and on Capitol Hill. There will be a relief package that will be coming out through Congress, possibly as soon as the end of this week, for both addressing the virus and also perhaps providing some stimulus to industries that are negatively impacted economically. So, you know, that's why IFA's here. Reach out if our members have questions or ideas about how they can help or concerns that they may have.
Yeah, on that point, you know, I think that a lot of our members, you know, preparedness certainly is first and foremost, but a lot of our brands are also already thinking about how they're going to be able to help, whether that's, you know, sending medical supplies to places in need. You know, obviously cleaning and sanitary conditions are a huge issue right now. So, you know, places like hotels and gyms, et cetera, you know, cleaning is already being upped right now. So there are brands definitely looking to help with any response, you know, if an outbreak continues as well. And a lot of our brands, you know, have done that in the past with other things, you know, hurricane relief, bringing food to first responders, that kind of thing. So our brands, you know, Franchising Give Back, that program exists for a reason and is really year round. So as I said, preparedness first and foremost, but a lot are thinking about how they can help as well.
Excellent. Thanks for that. And I also wanted to say thanks to both of you and your entire team on all of the work that you've done over the past few years. And congratulations on the big new ruling on a joint employer last month. So now we can all just sit back and take it easy, right?
Well, no, Jack, I'm sorry. I wish I could say we're just going to pack up our things here and go home.
Yeah, yeah. Go on vacation permanently. There you go.
Yeah. So I have some thoughts on this, as you might expect. Look, there is an opportunity here to claim victory, rightly so, by IFA and, you know, thousands of people who have come to the fan meeting, who have visited with their elected officials, sent letters or done other things through our Franchise Action Network on the joint employer issue since it began in 2014-15. And so, yes, we are taking a victory lap here, and everybody that's been involved in franchising should do the same. But that being said, we're not resting on our laurels here. I mean, this is an ongoing, you know, battle that we are in. One, we've always wanted legislative certainty on the joint employer issue. The two rulemakings that have come out in the last 2 months or so at the Labor Department and the National Labor Relations Board are just rules. So they are not permanent. A new administration could wipe them away on day one, and they probably would wipe them away on day one. They have already, the Department of Labor rule has already been challenged in court by 17 state attorneys general. The Democrats in the House of Representatives have threatened to defund the National Labor Relations Board's ability to enforce the rule via the congressional appropriations process. And the PRO Act was passed by the House of Representatives while we were all at the IFA convention. Mm-hmm. And one of the provisions in the PRO Act, PRO stands for Protecting Right to Organize, is a codification in federal law of the harmful joint employer standard and the AB 5 legislation in California that I know we're going to talk about here in a minute. So, you know, for every side of the balloon that we squeeze on and prevail, you know, it has the potential to pop on the other side. And, you know, that's why we need our members and our advocates consistently engaged in receiving our information and, you know, recognizing that this is an important step towards certainty, but it's not a complete and total victory in perpetuity.
Is there a drive to make this a more permanent solution via legislation, or is that something that's just pretty much out of the question currently with the current makeup of the House?
Well, you rightly state that we are in divided government. So in the past two Congresses, we've supported legislation that amends the National Labor Relations Act and the Fair Labor Standards Act. Those are the two federal primary federal labor laws to create a common sense definition of joint employment. In this new divided government, we've sought to amend federal trademark law, which is somewhat less politically sacrosanct for the labor unions. However, that's still not an easy hill to climb. So we have a bill called the Trademark Licensing and Protection Act. There's an alert set up on the Franchise Action Network site. If folks want to get engaged on that issue, they can do so. That is a franchise-only fix to the joint employer issue. The bill I talked about from last Congress was something that the entire business community supported. This would only address things like brand standards that could not be cited as evidence of joint employer liability by a plaintiff's attorney.
The exciting thing too about the Trademark Licensing Protection Act, or TLPA for short, is that it has bipartisan support in both chambers. So we're just excited, you know, that both sides of the aisle have come to an agreement that, you know, some fix is definitely necessary. And can agree that, you know, this is a good way to solve, you know, a piece of the joint employer problem by protecting and enhancing, you know, brands and brand standards.
Wow. And another bipartisan. I'm very impressed that we might actually have some unity here on something that makes so much sense. That's fantastic.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah. Matt, you were saying?
Oh, just another point on joint employment before we pivot to AB 5. One of the reasons that IFA worked so hard on state joint employer bills over the past 5 years is for this exact reason. So 21 states now have passed bills that, for the purposes of the state labor and employment law, do not allow a franchisor to be named as a joint employer with its franchisees' workers. And that's important because states have the ability, and oftentimes do, create labor policies that go mm-hmm. above and beyond the federal Fair Labor Standards Act, mm-hmm. whether it's on minimum wage or overtime or scheduling. We've seen lots of these over the past 5 or 6 years. And so in those states, it's going to be incredibly hard for a plaintiff's attorney to hold a brand accountable for something at a franchisee's location. And I think, you know, now that we've gotten federal relief on the regulatory side and 21 states have taken this action, we're beginning to create a belt and suspenders type of approach to protecting the franchise business model. And that's something that we need to continue. Those 21 states are largely redder states, mm-hmm. But it's important that we maintain this issue as a bipartisan issue, so we can continue to build more states as a firewall in this kind of macro political battle that we're in here.
Will you be spending more time in more regional and local conversations in some of those other states that might be hotspots right now this year?
We are, yes.
I think that's the one thing that a lot of people don't see, because it might just not get the publicity or mm-hmm. the social media sharing that that all of the other work that you guys do in D.C. Is everything at the state level, all of the action days that you have. I know you've done a lot in California and even, you know, places like you were doing a lot in Alabama recently, I think. and you know, various other cities. And I think that's something that we don't see as much of, but it feels like you guys are out there everywhere every day.
Yeah, we actually just added a new state lobbyist to our team. So Jeff Hanscom, who has been here with IFA for a lot of years, now has a deputy. His name's Grayson Wiggins, and he comes to us from the Maryland's Department of Labor, actually, and started this week. So it'll help our members deal with issues in an even more impactful way, having two people full-time dedicated to state and local issues.
And Jack, I would add too, you know, you're right. We were down in Alabama, you know, a lot last year. We had a franchise relations goal down there in, you know, the reddest of red states. Certainly wasn't, you know, at the top of our radar for that kind of bill to be introduced, but it was. And what we saw from, you know, March to June of last year were Alabama franchisees, franchisors, and suppliers really coming together to work to oppose this bill. We had, I think, two or three separate fly-in days down in Montgomery, meeting with legislators. And, you know, a lot of earned media talking about the bill. And eventually we were able to defeat that bill down in Alabama because of the good work of IFA members who stepped up to talk about the importance of franchising, you know, in Alabama and how, you know, the contract should not be legislated. And because franchising is doing so well down there. But you're right. Sometimes the state issues can sort of take a back seat to some of what's happening at the national level, but certainly just as important.
And I think the biggest state issue that we're all pretty aware of right now is what you mentioned earlier, Matt, with the AB5 situation in California. Can you give us kind of a rundown on what that is and where we are today with it?
Sure. So AB5 is a new law in the state of California that was signed into law in September of 2019. It went into effect this January. And AB5 is often confused with the joint employer issue. And while they are sort of cousins of one another, they're very different in terms of the test that they create to determine if somebody is impacted by that new law. So joint employment only deals with, is the franchisor responsible for the franchisee's employees? AB5 is a test that creates a presumption of employment between the contractual relationship that exists between two entities. So in the franchising context, what that means is there's a presumption of employment between the brand company, the franchisor, and the franchise owner. So let me just restate that, because oftentimes people say, huh, when you tell them that the franchisee is now presumed to be the employee of the franchisor, unless they satisfy the three prongs of the ABC test that is in the state, that is in AB5. And unfortunately, franchise companies are likely not going to satisfy that test based upon a plain interpretation, a legal interpretation of the new law. And so what IFA has been trying to do is get an exemption from the ABC test or clarification from the ABC test so that it makes clear that the franchise relationship and things that go into a traditional franchise relationship, like brand protection, do not constitute an employment relationship. So a lot of the conversation around AB5 is centered around the gig economy and whether Uber drivers or
Uber and Lyft,
are whether those individuals who have traditionally been independent contractors, not employees of those technology platform companies, can remain as such. And those companies have fought this law very aggressively. And they have developed a ballot initiative in the state of California to put this question to the voters, to they've raised over $100 million to run a campaign that would, if they're successful, would exempt technology platform companies from making their independent contractors workers. We are going about this much more carefully. Franchise companies are already, you know, registered with the state of California, are required by federal and state law to perform certain services to maintain, you know, a franchise business model in the forms of brand protection. And all we're trying to do is make clear in the statute that business relationship that exists between a brand company and its franchisees is not an employment relationship, but one that's existed under federal and state law for the purposes of franchising. And so this has been a difficult issue to prevail on as of yet. There is a lot of support for this law by the very powerful organized labor constituency in the state of California. And, you know, they look at any clarification or modification or exemption to this law for additional industries as weakening what they believe is one of the most powerful new labor and employment laws that they've ever been able to achieve. And so our ability to get our clarification through the legislature is really going to come down to how many franchisees and how many brands are willing to speak up and come to Sacramento and talk to the press and talk to their legislators about the fact that California is an incredibly important economy for the franchise business model and their brand. And we need this clarification in order for our business to continue to thrive the way that it always has. You know, franchising works because, you know, brands and franchisees work together to make that concept successful. But when brands can't franchise, which would be probably the net outcome of this law not being clarified, you know, we're going to run into problems in a lot of different ways that, you know, lawyers and others could bore you with for hours. But this is a very serious situation. And, you know, probably one of the biggest challenges that IFAs face legislatively in my entire time here at the association, probably bigger deal than the joint employer issue.
Wow.
To be honest, because at the end of the day, it really just turns the business model into a corporate roll-up model. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a franchisee is truly an employee. Rather than a joint employer, you're an employee of the brand.
Is there anything on the calendar coming up in California, in Sacramento, where franchisees can get involved? Do you have any action days or anything like that mapped out?
There sure is. So thank you for asking. So just under 2 weeks from now, actually, on Tuesday, March 17th, many of us will be spending St. Patrick's Day in Sacramento. So again, that's Tuesday, March 17th. We will be in Sacramento at the Capitol meeting with legislators on this issue and about clarifying AB 5 for franchisees and franchisors in the state of California. We will be meeting that morning actually at the Sheraton Grand Hotel in Sacramento for a breakfast briefing on the issue, talking about the ask, and then we'll split up into teams. Right now we've got just over 50 folks attending, split up into teams and really take the Capitol for the day. We've got over 50 meetings set up already as well. You know, and we will all be there from an IFA staff perspective. There'll be at least 4 or 5 of us out there to lead franchisees and franchisors in their teams around the Capitol to meet with legislators to talk about, you know, what our issues are, asking for that clarification, talking about, you know, the 70,000 franchise businesses that operate in California and the impact that has on the economy there. So yeah, we are ready to go on March 17th and really encourage you know, franchise executives from all over the country and franchisees from California to attend if possible.
And if they want to get involved, if they want to attend, is there a place where they can register for that?
All they need to do is email me and I will get them completely set up with logistics, with talking points, everything. So
awesome.
It's efarage, E-F-A-R-A-G-E at franchise.org.
Excellent. We'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. And finally, I want to ask you about the big day that I always look forward to every September, the Franchise Action Network. This year it's September 15th and 16th in Washington, D.C. And I assume we're going to be talking about a lot of the things that we've been talking about so far. Anything else planned for the fan meeting this year?
You know, we're still, you know, it's a few months away, so I think we're still fleshing out what our legislative asks are going to look like at that mm-hmm. point. You know, we've had a campaign since last year really called The Power of Brands, really just breaking franchising down to sort of its most simple level. When you think about franchising, it's really built on a brand and a brand name and the power that that brand name has. So I think that we'll talk about the power of brands again this year, because, you know, members of Congress, you know, they're not in the weeds on franchise policy in any sort of like day-to-day capacity. But when you break it down again and like simplify it to, you know, here's the franchise and here's what the brand name means to me, to my employees, to our community, you know, see members of Congress and their staff kind of wake up and kind of get, you know, the impact that franchising has across the country.
Yeah, I like that focus on the brands. I think that's been pretty eye-opening for a lot of people when they actually see the names and the brands and the logos. And you know, I had a great experience with one of the meetings a couple of years ago with a member of the House of Representatives from my district, who, you know, got so excited when the president of Rosati's Pizza, his favorite pizza, was actually coming in to see him. So so I think that really puts a name and a face on what this is really about with brands and small businesses in their districts.
Exactly. So much of it when, you know, talking to legislators is really just about humanizing what franchising is. You know, franchising is more than just, you know, a fast food chain or a hotel. It's about the people who own those businesses, and it's about, you know, their employees, and it's about what, you know, those local businesses are doing to give back to their communities. So talking about the brand is a really great way to talk about franchising to legislators.
The other thing you can do when you come to DC for FAN in September is go see your World Series champion Washington Nationals play Baltimore Orioles, who fortunately, after a year on the road during the conference, are back in town this year.
Excellent.
So I know as a Cubs fan, you will look forward to that activity.
And you're predicting right now that September 15th and 16th in D.C., the Nats will still be in first place, yes?
Well, I don't think we need to be in first place as it passes prologue. The wild card team last year did win the World Series. So
sure did.
You know, you just got to get in the game and feel confident that we'll return this year.
Let's get in touch with the Nats and the Cubs organizations and just make sure the Cubs are always playing in Washington in mid-September. Can we make that happen? I think that's really an action point that we want to make. So.
Yeah, we'll get on that.
Okay, thank
that'll
you.
Be our main,
thank
that'll
you.
Be a big ask.
All right, excellent. Go Nats. We will be back in just a moment with some more contact information. But first, this message from Better. Better offers tools to manage clients, sales orders, and job schedules alongside general day-to-day operations and delivering a complete business management solution for small multi-location franchise owners. With the ability for cloud-based and mobile usage, Better allows users to access and manage business operations from anywhere and at any time using mobile or tablet devices. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Okay, Matt and Erica, thanks so much for joining today. If people want to get involved, or maybe they just have further questions on some of the topics that we touched on, where is the best place for us to send them?
Sure. So the easiest place to go about much of what we've talked about is franchiseactionnetwork.org. But perhaps an even easier way to get involved and learn more is to just join FAN. And the way that you're able to join the Franchise Action Network, most people are probably listening to this podcast on their phone, so it's already out.
Yes.
You can just text the word FAN, F-A-N, to the number 52886. So again, that's FAN to 52886. You can join the Franchise Action Network that way. You'll begin to receive bi-weekly email updates called fan mail that, you know, talk about much of what we covered here and ongoing legislative and advocacy and political issues. And then you would also receive, you know, when there's a national federal issue, alerts about that. And then if you have something in your state stirring, sort of like in Alabama or California, we send state specific information as well. So joining FAN is truly the easiest and best way to both educate yourself on issues impacting your business and also to get more involved.
Excellent. Thanks so much for that. Matt and Erica, thanks for being here today, and I look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.